So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you on Wrestling Weekly. A little bit loud tonight. I am, Les.
You're a little bit loud.
A little bit.
Well, I guess, or maybe just loud to me because I didn't hear you last week. You think?
I feel a little bit better now.
Now you're probably a little bit low. I don't know. Whatever. But it's Doc Young, ladies and gentlemen, the gadget master.
This,
with the knobs.
This
with the
whole show.
Plug, sticking things in and out and wondering while we do the show.
This whole show is held together by string and gum.
I did a three-hour weekly block here in Cincinnati at the Clear Channel station.
Yeah, and, but it was a Clear Channel station.
And,
they had
and
like,
I filled in for the wrestling guys, Sean Stenham, up in Middletown on several occasions to his show. But I've never had a producer that made his adjustments during the program. I keep waiting to hear a hammer and pounding a nail into a board. Doc, are you there? Oh, I'm busy, Les. I'm painting the walls in the studio.
Or spring going boing.
Laying carpet, whatever.
Who knows?
Exactly.
It gets done, though.
Yes.
But I don't know. I swear, Les, I have adult ADD or something.
Well, yes. Yeah, yeah, you do. You're right.
I need to get that checked out.
I know there are times that we've had a guest on, and I thought, is Doc still there? Hello? Hello? Earth? Doc, no. Oh, yeah, okay.
I get distracted real easy. I don't know why, but
well,
I am listening.
I know. If we were in the same studio, I'd take that cane of yours and wrap you.
I know.
The
that's
back
why
of
we're
the head with it.
That's why we're not in the same
you
studio.
Ever watch NCIS? You know, Mark Harmon slaps the one agent up behind the head every time he says something.
That would be me. I'd go home black and blue after every show.
There you go.
But, you know, one of your old students had joined my MySpace and sent me a message.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm going there right now. I'm looking up his name because I can't remember it at the moment. But he said he was with you in HWA.
Okay.
And his name now is Aston something, I don't know.
Aston
Augustus Ambrose Esquire,
yeah,
yes.
Kerry White, yes.
Yes, he said he loves the show.
Well, that's great, yeah, and I love him. I'll tell you what, if we would take a minute, you want to talk about, a great success story. You know, here's a guy who came to me. In fact, I just saw him a couple weeks ago. He came in and trained with us on Wednesday night, and he still has the touch. Not a big guy, about 5'6". First met him. He's studying broadcasting in college, and anyway, came to me. He's 21 years old. It's 10 years ago. Had never done anything athletic.
Sounds like me today.
Yeah, exactly. Only he was aware of it. He was quite overweight. He said, you know, I love wrestling, which I knew he was, a guy who actually co-hosted, another Doc Love, who co-hosted Wednesday Night Main Events here on Clear Channel 1360 with me for 2 years. They were doing on public access radio, a talk show. Anyway, that's how I met Kerry, and he came to the gym and said, can I, you know, I'd love to try this. Do you think I can do it? I said, I don't know. We'll see. He dumped almost 100 pounds.
Yeah, he looks real skinny now.
It was no. It was frustrating for both of us at times, but I mean he was bound determined to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was I think it took us 16 to 18 months. I don't remember exactly before he had his first match, but he turned into a very good little worker. I think I've told this story here on the show before and never just mentioned names, but when I had the WWE contract, the guys who started with me didn't just come and train with contract guys. You had to earn that right.
Mm-hmm.
And Kerry was a guy who had his head into it and had such a great work ethic, although he realized he probably was never going to make it, you know, in any of the big companies. There were times that, like, John Laurinaitis or a couple of the agents would come in and say, you know, the chunky little kid, he's got a great work ethic. And he did. And anyway, he turned into a good little hand, and he came in and trained with us a couple weeks ago, and I told the kids, I said, watch him, because he hadn't lost his touch. He knew where to be. We did a couple practice tag matches, and he knew where to be, when to be there. He knew when to cut the referee off, when to turn him loose. A lot of stuff that too high a percentage of the independents today don't have a clue about. But anyway, yeah, he had such a great work ethic that when Haku was with us, Haku was ready to leave, and we did a Tuesday night show called the Showcase, and we used to, in our little gym, which seated about 100, we used to have 100 about every week. And it was, on that show had been guys like Mysterio, Malenko, Incredible,
mm-hmm.
Raven, Tommy Dreamer, Val Venus, D'Lo Brown. I mean, you know, some of the top guys,
right,
in the business at the time. But anyway, Haku asked to work with, at the time we changed his gimmick. They asked him, Augustus Ambrose, deal was he was a little rich boy, and he had a valet.
Mm-hmm.
And he changed the gimmick to Time Bomb, where he was kind of off his little rocker and sort of a Eugene with more energy, or I don't know what, you know, but not where he was stupid, but just where he, you know, he was a loose cannon sort
right.
of thing. But anyway, Haku asked to work with him, and I said, sure, it was his last night in. And long story short, Haku, obviously at his size, almost 300 pounds, outweighed Kerry by 100. And being who he is, if he said, well, we'll go about 2 minutes and I'll squash him, I said, yeah, of course. But he took him out there. I think they went about 12 minutes. Haku got him over. Kerry keep going back. They told the story. Kerry kept going back to the legs, weakened legs. Finally, scoop slammed him. Right?
Yeah.
And it looked like he had a chance of beating him, and they had this crowd of 100 people into this match, and Haku made him that night. And I hugged Haku when he came to the pack, and I told Kerry, I said, you realize what just happened here? I said, you know, this guy didn't get paid to work this show tonight, and this is obviously not Madison Square Garden, you know, and he could have snuffed you in a couple minutes, but he just showed you so much respect, you know, by going out there and putting you over. I mean, Haku got his hand held up, but there was no mistake that Kerry was in the match the whole time.
Right.
But it was just because of his work ethic. And I love him. He's one of my kids, and he's just a great kid. I really like him. He's put a little weight back on. He hadn't wrestled in about over three years, I guess it is, and he's come back in and started training. But he hasn't lost his touch as far as what he can do in the ring. You know, he
mm-hmm.
just needs to dump a little weight and get some ring win back. But
right.
Yeah, he's a good kid, and it's a good story.
Cool. Really, welcome to the Wrestling Weekly Empire, I guess. I can't say Empire because that's Brian Alvarez's.
Okay.
I can't say Nation because that's WWE's. So
well, whatever.
Our little club.
Okay. There you go.
But yeah, welcome. Thanks for listening. Tonight, guys, we've got. Of course, Brian Alvarez is going to be on. He's from Figure Four Weekly Newsletter, in case you've been under a rock.
And Wrestling Observer Live.
And Wrestling Observer Live. He's going to be doing the Hot Topic with us tonight. Also, for the first time together, Scott Norton and Buff Bagwell, Vicious and Delicious. It's going to be a two-for-one interview, and this is the first time that we've...
Not the first time they've ever been together. It's the first time on our show.
The first time, yes, on our show. And I think this is the first time we're going to interview two people at once.
Well,
on this show.
That's very possible.
We've talked about doing it before, but I don't think we've done it before. So.
Yeah, we had Greg Oliver and Steve Johnson on.
Oh, yeah, we did. Okay.
Yes. I don't know how. That's been a long time ago.
That was quite a bit. We're running. We're almost on two years left.
There's a thing that you and your old tinkering should do, get us in a position where we could do more.
It's hard. We're held together by string and gum as it is right now.
I know. That was one of the things when I did the Clear Channel show with obviously the outlets and the equipment.
We would need different numbers.
There were times that we had Bruce Mitchell, Dave Meltzer. Who else did we have on with them? Anyway, it doesn't matter. We had three columnists on at the same time and did like a round table, you know. No big deal. But yeah, we're supposed to have Scott. And has Buff been swore that he's going to allow Scott to say something?
I don't know about all that. That's between Scott and Buff there. But Scott did say that he contacted Buff, and Buff was cool with the whole interview and everything like that. So they should both be on, I hope.
Okay. let me get a couple plugs in here for Les Thatcher.
Sure.
While we're at the top of this thing. Coming up, well, actually, the wife and I are headed out of here for the Smoky Mountains tomorrow morning and for a family get-together over the weekend and a little R&R, and I'll be back home on Monday. But
drinking and fighting.
No, neither.
No?
Just relaxing. I'll read, and where we're going to stay, my mother-in-law's in Maggie Valley, North Carolina. I'll take my cup of coffee and go out on the porch swing in the morning and look at the mountains and the sun and the morning sun, and it's really relaxing.
So your family reunions are not of the Jerry Springer type?
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. But anyway, May 18th and 19th, I'm going to be in Tennessee, Elizabethan on the 18th, which is up near the Tri-Cities, Bristol, Johnson City, Kingsport. The 19th, the venue and the town is yet to be announced, but that's for Midwest Championship Wrestling. They're doing a Midwest versus Mid-South thing. Timmy Horner's on the show. Josh Abercrombie, who got on our show next week to talk about this, several guys from the Detroit area and guys from down in the southeast, obviously. But we're doing a seminar starting at 10 a.m. At the Rec Center in Elizabethan on the 18th. We'll be doing one also on the 19th, where we're going to end up. And for more information on this, you can go to myspace.com/MWCW. And then I'm back down with Paul Bearer, Percy Pringle in Mobile, June 8th, 9th, and 10th. If you want information to sign up for that one, it's GulfSouthWrestling.com. Get in touch with Percy. We're doing Friday night the 8th, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And, we usually have a great turnout there from three or four different states. And I'm up in Detroit, June 23rd and 24th. 23rd, starting at 11 a.m., an all-day seminar for the House of Truth, which is Truth Martini School, and the American Kickboxer School, which is Rage Dojo, R-A-A-G-E. And for Malcolm Monroe, Midwest Championship Wrestling on Sunday evening, the 24th in Detroit. And you can find out more information about that or sign up by going to amkickboxer@hotmail.com or check. There should be some information on that on the MySpace for the MWCW site as well. So I'm keeping busy, and we're looking at doing something on the left coast and going to Denver in September, as far as I know, and a couple other things.
Excellent.
Lined up. Yeah. So
you can keep up with Les's whole schedule, guys, over at lesthatcher.com and epwg.com has the whole schedules up.
Yes, you absolutely can, and even Doc Grace's the site, WW site occasionally with.
Occasionally.
I noticed I got replaced by a little pipsqueak who was on somebody's talk show last weekend.
For one day.
How did that go?
It was weird. First he called me.
It was weird, okay.
They called me up and they were like, we'd like to have you on as a guest on the show. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird, you know, but okay. It's actually the second interview I'd ever done. And the first time I kept telling him, I was like, you know, having me on your show as a guest is like having the man who met Elvis on a music show, you know what I mean? But we did the interview and stuff like that. So this guy calls me up and he's like, well, we'd like to have it on your show, you know, talk about how, you know, you started in the radio and all that stuff and how you got into the wrestling and all this. And I was like, okay. And they called me up and they asked me no personal questions at all. It was just about, like, what do you think about, like, what's going on with this storyline in WWE and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So the whole thing had completely changed when they called me up, so I wasn't really ready for it. And I don't even remember what I said.
But you see, that's the thing. There's no such thing as be ready.
I guess.
You know,
no, there's not.
There's something when I had my show, and I don't know how you are when you're producing, but when some PR person says, what would you like to ask the guest? My answer is, I don't know.
Yeah.
I play it off the top of my head, and actually, when I do a guest spot, I play it the same way. I say, you ask the questions, I'll answer them. Is there anything you, well, you know, I probably won't talk about, I don't know.
Right.
If you come up with something that I don't want to know, I'll just say, you know, I'd rather not comment on that
mm-hmm.
or something. But
I usually have about 5 questions in mind, and then take it from there. I don't always use them all. If the conversation takes you somewhere else, then it does. When the last time I believe we had Scott Norton on, you were absent that day, and it was just him and I. Or you had to leave early. And it was just him and I, and we just had a conversation basically. And
right.
he said that it was like the most fun interview that
he
had ever done.
But see, I think that's one of the things that. To my, you know, there's a lot of wrestling talk shows on the internet and
mm-hmm.
on radio and so forth and so on. And, you know, our Brian is coming on can attest to this too. And once something is talked about, sometimes it's just beaten into the ground. And
right.
You can only approach it from so many angles. And there's only so, I mean, you know, only you can either be for it or against it. I mean, you can change why you're for it or against it, I guess. But, you know, it's, well, like a while back when we were doing another show and we had Chris Jericho on, and the host said, well, we're gonna, what's about his I said, everybody's plugging the record.
Mm-hmm.
I was with him in Smoky Mountain when the first time he and Lance Storm came into the country. I think that's probably will be of more interest, not because of me, but because I happened to be there with
right.
him, right, and because of his housemates who were Kane and Balls Mahoney and D'Lo Brown and so forth and so on, and it was.
And New Jack.
Yeah, and New Jack and so forth and so on, you know. But, I mean, that's, I don't know, you know, from my perspective, you know, being working inside the industry all these years, I always try to, you know, if I can find, if there is something, you know, especially if I know somebody and short of, you know, exposing something they don't want to talk about,
mm-hmm.
You know, I always try to go in that direction. But, and a lot of times with guys I've known for years, I just seem to play off of what comes up, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, but a topic which has obviously gotten a lot of press was the Memphis deal with Hogan and Lawler.
Yeah, I think we're going to get into more of that when we get Brian on. I think that's going to be the hot topic this week.
Okay, I'll shut up.
We will, you know, right. we'll basically go through that. But, you know, there was this whole thing with Memphis Wrestling. I believe Jimmy Hart runs that, right?
No, Corey Macklin.
Okay, yeah, Corey Macklin, okay. And
Jimmy's involved.
Right.
It's Lawler. But, and I, you know why now? I think Jerry is a partner in some way, shape, or form. I'm not sure. And Jimmy may be as well, but I think Corey's the front man on everything.
Okay. And they had a little dispute, I guess, with WWE over some stuff. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Some new stories from this week, though.
We have a new Intercontinental Champion.
Yes, we do.
And I couldn't pronounce his name if you held a gun to my head.
Santino.
He was a Russian at OVW last week.
Yeah, he was Boris Alexeev.
Yes, and you know what? I'll know more, I guess. I did not see the show last night. I'll be very honest. I was doing voiceover auditions and recording some stuff, and I didn't.
Les, are you trying to get employment outside Wrestling Weekly?
Yes, I'm trying to get employment. Well, I'm not employed by Wrestling Weekly, or if I am, I'm filing for bankruptcy first thing in the morning.
He's gonna leave us, guys.
No, I'm just trying to pick up. I'm trying to make a living. That's
absolutely
what I'm trying to do.
Absolutely.
But anyway, this guy, I will have to see him work with some higher level guys, but and no offense to the guys in OVW, but what I've seen in OVW, he's not ready to be a champion in on Raw or SmackDown. Right? I mean, and that's not no offense to him as a wrestler, or as, and I know I understand he actually has done some MMA, and which, you know, that's like saying, well, you know, Clyde Drexler played basketball, but if you watch Dancing with the Stars, he's that doesn't make him Fred Astaire. But anyway, here's a spoiler, so if the guys in the chat room or anyone listening, cover your ears or block your screen. We have some new SmackDown Tag Team Champions, too.
Mm-hmm.
Deuce and Domino.
Which is odd.
If you're looking for a rhyme or reason, we won't even go there. I don't know that there is one, but
I thought they were on their way out.
Who knows? Who knows? It's hard to say. But anyway, yeah, so everybody will see that on Friday. And TNA pay-per-view on Sunday night. Did you watch?
No.
Oh,
did not
good.
See the TNA pay-per-view. But I want to go back for a moment. Let's get to the pay-per-view in a second. But this Santino guy, I don't know if you know this, but this is the guy that Jim Cornette paintbrushed back
I knew that.
In OVW, yes, when he was laughing at the boogeyman coming out.
Yes.
But this is the same guy. He was playing a Russian character in OVW.
Right.
But now he's just Santino. But
because he is actually Italian, and
yes,
because they took him to Italy, so it's kind of like a local boy comes out of the audience. And,
right.
Okay.
Which we've seen before somewhere.
Where I'd say they're that? Taking a chapter out of some other company's book, but I won't.
Let's not.
Because I'll get heat for that from somebody.
heat goes with it.
I don't care. But anyway, yeah. Not to say he's not a good athlete. I just what I've seen of him, you know. And I tend to OVW plays here in Cincinnati every Saturday, and I'm just, you know, again, if I see him wrestle Benoit or Michaels or Helmsley or some, you know, somebody that can make him up his game, then I'll more apt to make a more sane judgment, maybe. But from what I've seen in OVW, he's not ready to be up there on that roster in a championship position. Maybe that's what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, he just got there.
I don't care.
Well, we've seen it. Yeah, we've seen it before. WWE announced, and this is sad news, Les, that on the website Friday that WWE diva Ashley Massaro is going to be requiring surgery after a screw in her ankle plate was loosened. They're going to have to reinsert that bad boy.
Well, you know what, Doc? You and her have something. You both have a screw loose, right? I knew there was a common bond there. I just didn't know what it was.
Les, that must have been like the first thing you thought about Friday when you read that, and you've been saving that, haven't you?
No, actually, it just came to mind right now. When you pitched it out, you lobbed that right down the center of the plate, and I had to take a shot at it.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? If you're looking for me to say, gee, I hope she's fine. I hope she's well. I hope she's healthy. I hope she has four or five kids. Will I miss her? No. You will. I know.
You're ruining this whole thing.
And those little interviews over the weekend, they should have asked him why. Well, they knew why he was stumbling, right?
Yeah.
You were a bit of a horny child, but you fantasize a lot, so it's... It actually has nothing to do with wrestling.
Okay. I'm trying to bring up the... in case everybody's wondering what that stupid music is, but I'm trying to bring up the TNA pay-per-view results. And they have a video playing on their site. So it's like going...
Oh, good.
Yeah, so it's going... like the audio was going over the show here, which is not cool, but... I didn't hear it.
I can't speak for everybody.
Right.
Else.
You don't get to hear like all our cool bumper music or the commercials or anything like that.
I never hear all the cool bumper music.
You should actually download the show later and listen to the whole thing once.
Yeah.
And you know, enjoy some of the music that we come
exactly.
back to.
Exactly. I do 2 hours and then I want to sit and listen to it play back in my ear. You know what? I have an ego, but it's not that big.
Well,
really, it's not.
Actually, I don't like listening to myself, so I don't really hear it. So if something's, like, messed up on it, I don't know about it unless somebody tells me.
Yeah.
So
I don't sit in front of a computer when we do the show either.
No.
I have no earthly idea what's on my computer. In fact, my wife's probably playing games on it right now. no, she probably, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't do that, you know. I don't do that. I can chew gum and walk, but I see no reason to be... If I'm talking, I have no reason to be on there reading. But anyway,
right. But that's
back with the TNA pay-per-view.
Right. On the pre-show, it was a Voodoo Kin Mafia with Lance Hoyt defeating Serotonin. With Christy Hemming.
Your girl Chrissy.
Christy,
let's see. Who can I throw in there against Brian and Kip, let's find a team who's never won a match.
Right.
And we'll go out there and keep their record intact.
Or somebody who doesn't work for the company. You know?
Well, that's going to come later.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know what they'll do with it, but if they're silly enough to beat the Bashams on the first shot, then they're silly. Doug and Danny are good hands. They can get some mileage out of them with Brian and Kip. Well, they can get some mileage out of them with any damn body. I mean, they're both good hands.
Mm-hmm.
I won't even go into that right now. But I mean that there, you know. But see, there again, I thought this the main event in this. I thought Daniels and Lynn was a good solid match. Although I from the sound of it, the fans did not get into it all that much. There was hokiness. Those of you who think I knocked the company, I'm knocking because it doesn't. Some of it didn't make any damn sense. It was just, you know. Here's make a comparison here, a parallel real quick. I can sit here and watch special effects and things done in movies or on a television show and think that's really cool. But then I also have to stop to realize that that movie or that television show is pre-recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do special effects and make me believe that they actually are happening.
Right.
Where on something live, you cannot do that.
Right.
You are limited. A telegraph to those writing wrestling, you are limited, whether you like it or you don't. I thought the main event, the action was good. I'm not so sure about the finish. But, you know, there's certain things that aren't flying in this day and age that might have flown 40 years ago. I was in a blindfold battle royal once, believe it or not, and I can even tell you the town because I was only in one, Pulaski, Tennessee, which is a speck on the map, south of Nashville before you get to the Alabama border. But anyway, but see, that's the other thing, too. These two blindfold guys were climbing a cage. And I saw one of them look down to see if the other guy was coming,
mm-hmm.
which blind guys don't do. And naturally, you can see through. We could see through,
Right.
But, I mean, again, it was hokey, the only word I can use. And the audience didn't buy it. And they started their Fire Russo chant. And I, you know what? I think Jay Lethal does a tremendous Macho Man, and I think there's probably 500 guys that do good Elvises,
mm-hmm.
and none of them are ever going to be famous. And when you're imitating somebody else, it's got a short shelf life.
Right.
And I think that's a waste of this. I mean, this kid's 20 years old, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And there, he's got, you know, and that, and there's the other thing that, that the people, I don't care if it's TNA, WWE, Ring of Honor, or the Christian Society of Professional Wrestlers, changing people's personas, characters every couple years sucks. You spell that S-U-C-K-S, sucks.
Or S-U-X if you're of the Y generation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm not. But I mean, the point is, it's still the person, you know? And Jay Lethal is still Jay Lethal. And then now that he'll be somebody. It was just like Serotonin. Everybody knows who those guys are,
mm-hmm.
right? And when they find out that nobody cares about this gimmick, they'll have him be somebody else.
So wasn't your good friend Harley Race at this pay-per-view?
Yes, he was.
Did he get involved in the match? Because,
no.
Like I said, I missed this.
No. He was introduced and made a speech, not on the pay-per-view, but I know pre-show, I think.
Okay.
I thought Shelley and Saban's match, with or without, I think Backlund was actually a non-factor. Those guys hook up good together. The electric cage match was stupid. I mean, sucks. Stupid.
Was it as stupid as?
It has nothing to do with the people in the ring. But first of all, when you can see that. It's tough to electrocute something on something that's covered with plastic cable.
Mm-hmm.
There were times that people were touching things that were metal and the lights didn't dim or this.
Right.
You know, it was a bad sci-fi movie. you know, it was like Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein or something. I mean, it was, and here's one of the things, special effects if they could have in some way or shape or form pre-record that and made it work better, they, you know, it didn't work, and the fans didn't buy it either. And I don't know that it had anything to do with the four guys in the ring because they were busting their hump, you know, but it's just here's the other thing, and this is not about TNA. This is about the business currently in general, and I even see it in the little companies around here. Is you think you got to have a gimmick match. I mean, you make up crap just to be making it up. And here's a clever idea. Put two good athletes out there that can work and go, and you know what? That'll do the job. You don't need, every match doesn't need a stipulation, or you don't need to make up new stipulations and like X scaffolds and climb in the fence, climb out of the fence, go under the fence, stick your nose through the fence. I mean, it's silly. It's no rhyme or reason. Well, here's the thing. Let's go back to Storm and Harris and realize this is the first match. These guys, you know, the deal is that Storm supposedly broke the beer bottle in Chris's eye, and Chris will be partially blind in that eye, which obviously won't last the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, Chris is trying to get to him on several occasions. He's got a little shot at him, but then Storm escapes, so now they're in a cage and they're blindfolded. Stipulations like that are to end feuds, not
right.
to start them.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you go from there? Well, let's have a World War III match. Let's use 50-millimeter howitzers and blow the roof off the building or something. I mean, you get my point?
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid. It's starting at the top, working backwards, opposed to going the other direction.
And the only thing I can say is that being on a network now is a double-edged sword. You're only as good as your last ratings, and
well, you know, they're giving Sting and
they're under pressure.
I'm mad about this too, but they're giving Sting an angle away.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're under pressure to get these ratings, to get these numbers.
Here's the thing: if you try not to, well, there are times though that you have to sacrifice, and that's the thing too. You know, you don't understand my business. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I started saying, I don't understand broadcasting, but then you don't either. We can't go there. Anyway, no, I mean, but if we sit down and say, look, Doc, as the executive producer on Spike or USA or whatever,
mm-hmm.
We have to tease occasionally
right.
to get people to, you know, we can't give the store away every week and expect people to continue to buy pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do, then unless you, for some reason, are going to pay us some huge amounts of money, then, you know, we've got to live off the pay-per-views and the house shows.
Right.
You know, what I did like about the TNA show, they had a fresh crowd, but they also knew how to say, you know, fire Russo, so you can't blame that on the smart marks in Orlando. But the crowd was fresher in St. Louis. For the most part, I'm sure there were people that never, you know, I've watched the television, had never been to the shows. And they need to take their show on the road a little bit more to keep it fresher like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't give the store away all the time. And you can't do, well, here's the thing. But when you put your stupid gimmick shortens, I mean, two guys, and the other thing is the 45-guy run-in. I wasn't on with you last week, but I saw that happen three times in their lead into that pay-per-view on the Impact show. It's just, it's at some point you don't care. You
it's kind of automatic before
back,
pay-per-view
it,
almost.
It goes back, and you'll laugh at this, but stop and think about it in a serious vein. Everybody listening, remember the first time you saw your boyfriend or your girlfriend naked. Then remember the thousandth time. And you can't remember the thousandth time because it didn't matter. So you're using up all this stuff. And the point is, Jerry Lynn and Chris Daniels don't need goofy gimmicks. They don't need it. Just turn them loose and let them go. There's several guys in that. I mean, there's a lot of good talent in that company. You don't need to be caned every time they lose a match. I think Bobby Roode is ill-used. All that stupidness with Tracy and Eric Young, this guy's a good hand. But here's the case. He was miscast to begin with. Now this angle's been used wrong. And so he's ineffective, not because he's not a good worker, but because he's been handled wrong. He's been used wrong.
Right. I'm still thinking about my girlfriend naked. I don't know about you.
Well, I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are. And that's more important, I know, than This is not Sex Fantasy Weekly. This is Wrestling Weekly.
Absolutely.
Yes, except for you, of course. And those of you listening, if your doc disappears in a moment or so, that's, well, we know where he's gone.
Les has this horrible image of me.
You sit at home and you're like
every time
a deep... you project. it wasn't a bad pay. Get back to it wasn't a bad pay-per-view overall. But it's just, I mean, it was like one step forward and one step back on in several occasions, and it just.
Improvement overall?
Did I see any improvement
overall? Yeah.
I think it was better than the last one. Overall, yeah. But like I say, the electrified cage match was just silly, as was the the girls. I don't think anybody really cared about that. Introducing the, and here's something else, Doc, and you're going to hate to say this, but the whole impact of scantily clad, hot-looking young girls on wrestling is over. There are so many. There's a good example of what I was trying to say earlier about the gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
Except for you, most of us are, we're dull. It's like, okay, there's Christy Hemme. Okay, there's whoever, right?
Right.
She's another girl with surgically enhanced boobs and doesn't have much clothes on. Okay, whatever.
Now, I think you're missing the whole point, though. I don't love every diva just because they're scantily clad.
What I'm saying is that building a paper, trying to build one of your pay-per-view matches around the first ever women's cage match in TNA.
Right.
Everyone who really gave a damn, hold your hand up. Yeah, right, exactly. And, you're not going to see a lot of hands. I mean, the point is you're just... they've drawn well with it, I guess, and I'm not sure what the buy rate is on this one. I mean, it was a good house. I don't know what the house numbers were, but I guess over 3,000 or something, a big house for them.
Mm-hmm.
Every match in a cage, that dulls the value of the cage, too.
Right.
It's just, and again, I'm not picking on TNA. Everybody does it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, it's like...
There was a time...
Let me give you a parallel. WWE, I mean, well, everybody's doing this handicap matches, the McMahons, the Martins, and the McCoys, and against John Cena, against the World, or against Bobby Lashley. It's like, okay, so who cares?
Mm-hmm.
It's been done and done and done, and it just doesn't matter anymore. You have to... Again, and I've said this on the show before, it's very simple. You go to a gentleman's club, the dancers don't come out naked and put their clothes back on. Why? Because there's nothing to anticipate. And if you give me this over and over and over, you got to realize most of these stipulations that I'm talking about were initially, when any of them that have been around for any length of time, were used sparingly, which
mm-hmm.
made them important.
Right.
Okay? If Jennifer Lopez is sitting in your studio naked every day, I know how you're going to react the first few days, but at some point it's just like, hey Jen, what's up?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't matter. And my point is not about a company; it's about the business as a whole,
mm-hmm.
because you're painting yourself. And I had and I won't use the guy's name, but a friend of mine who was a booker a number of years ago, we were talking. I said, you're doing this, and he said, I'm doing like every booker does. Last time, think about it. I said, what? Paint myself in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Because you run out of fresh ideas, so you start doing, coming up with goofy ideas or repeating yourself over and over again, and at some point, the fans don't care.
Right.
And the X Division, they've got some great guys there. The Lethal thing, he does it well. It's cute. It's entertaining. Isn't that cute? Mrs. Lethal's little boy's pretending to be Randy Savage. Okay, so why? And the thing with Dutt wearing Nash's clothes is I saw Mickey Mouse running around in a sorcerer suit like that in a cartoon once. And do I think that guy can whip my butt? No, I don't think so. It's not getting those guys over.
Mm-hmm.
If comedy's what you're selling, then say so and find some actual comedians.
Right.
That's the part that's driving me crazy because there's some good workers there. Kazarian is a hell of a hand, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's wasted it in that whole serotonin thing, Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox and move on.
I think it's just something to...
You're going to rationalize this in some manner, are you not?
No, I'm not rationalizing.
Okay.
I'm just saying it just seems like it's a sort of a par for the course thing and to keep them busy. Something to keep them busy, but something not important. You know what I mean?
Well, but it's, why not give them... I mean,
right.
Everything doesn't have to have a gimmick.
Right.
Just good competition. I think UFC has proven that, right? The undercard matches sometimes... will exceed the what's figured as the main event, not because they've got stipulations, not because they've been told to be, to do something.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole Liddell Ortiz thing. It was about Liddell being the older guy, the underdog, and came back and beat the younger guy and showed that he was the champion that everyone thought he should be, But going in, I mean, he was the sentimental favorite, but not the favorite guy if you were making a book on it,
right?
What now? I'll give you the next. Let's see. We've got another hour and 15 minutes in this show, and I'm going to give you that to come up with the gimmick that they used in the Ortiz-Liddell match.
Okay.
Because you can't.
All right.
Never mind. I'll give you the next 115 years. There is no gimmick. My point is, this business was built on athletic, one athlete, two athletes chasing a title in competition, and everybody's trying to build reinvent the wheel, and there's no need to, is my point. And I'll say this again next week. I'll be redundant because it comes back to the whole thing. It's not necessary, and it's overproduced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just one company; it's all of them. And the sad thing is, when you go to the Indies, they're doing the same damn thing. And that's where you should be getting a foundation for this business, and they're not, because everybody's too busy pretending it's Halloween, and let's pretend like we're the big guys. Isn't that cute? Let's go out and watch a little junior pretend to be this guy. No, never mind. Go on. Let's get something else. On somebody's MySpace, and I don't even know why I was on the MySpace, somebody's saying that I love to hear Les Thatcher rant about wrestling. I thought, why? I don't do it to entertain you. I do it because I love the business, and I hate to see it bastardized, and that's exactly what's being done to it.
It just happens to be entertaining to people
but it's,
at the same time. So it provides, kills two birds with one stone.
Okay. Whatever you say.
But we've got still to come, guys. Vicious and Delicious, Scott Norton, and Buff Bagwell is going to be here. We're also, we've got a little bit more news to get to, and we're going to do our final installment of So You Wanna Be a Wrestler.
Okay.
And that's our tips.
We have Brian Alvarez coming on.
Right, Brian Alvarez. He's coming on next for Hot Topic, guys. So stick around. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get Brian on. You're listening to Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young, Les Thatcher, la-di-da. Be right back.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name's Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
There's the latest news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you. Wrestling Weekly, guys. On the line right now from Figure Four Online. He runs the Figure Four Weekly newsletter. He's on Wrestling Observer Live. And the women love him because, well, he's a sensitive man. Brian Alvarez is on the show. Brian, thanks for returning for Hot Topic on Wrestling Weekly, man.
That's right. I requested this, in fact.
I did not know that you were a sex symbol, too, Brian. I knew you were a man of multi-talents. I did not realize that you had progressed into a sex symbol as well.
I didn't know until right now. So.
Okay.
The women out here in Indiana love Brian, I'll tell you that.
Wow.
Brian,
So, okay, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. You asked to be on the show today specifically for a purpose. We had on, and Les wasn't here, so Les doesn't know anything about this, but we had Jimmy Jacobs on last week. And, Jimmy had sort of comments of what happened at the Fight Sports Midwest show last month. I guess, and let me explain this for Les, because and some of the listeners who might not know, because I don't think Les knows anything about the story at all. But,
no, I don't.
We were at the Fight Sports Midwest show last month, and Jimmy Jacobs was running around in a gorilla costume, or monkey costume, or whatever it was, but he was running around in this. And
actually, let me preface that. A ring crew guy had been wearing the outfit.
Right.
That's the important thing. I thought this was a ring crew guy wearing this outfit, and later in the show, Jimmy Jacobs put it on, and I had no idea of this, so go on.
Okay, so Brian's leaving his match at the end of his match, and the gorilla is standing by the ring barrier, so he goes over to hug him, and the gorilla turns around and, you know, just kind of no-sells it. Brian was a little upset at that, so he goes back. Later on, he gets his shirt that he left out there. He had one of the ring announcers go get his shirt, and there was a banana smeared all over his shirt.
Defiled,
yes. What did you say? You were served by a monkey.
I was served by an ape.
Yeah. And so we asked Jimmy about this, and Jimmy gave his comments last time about, that you're a writer. that the writers really shouldn't be hanging around the wrestlers trying to pal with them because, you know, stuff like that. And I guess Jimmy was a little bit upset about your review of his match with Eddie Guerrero on SmackDown. How long ago was that?
You know, okay, I'm going to start right now.
Sure, go ahead.
Now that we've prefaced this, I actually was on the treadmill last week, and for 20 minutes I was just running this just ranting promo through my head that I had prepared for today. But this was last week after I heard the show, and now today I'm just, you know, I'm fine. Everything's great. But the two things I've got to say is first off, I have no memory whatsoever of this match with Eddie Guerrero or anything that I wrote about it. So I will say that if I screwed up that story, I apologize to Jimmy Jacobs for that. But, you know, I don't remember writing it, so I would say that.
I didn't see the match, or at least if I did, I don't remember it, but I would say this.
You guys didn't see the match.
God love him. If Eddie couldn't carry you, Jimmy, then you can't be carried.
I think his complaint was something about how he was given a brain buster in a chair and he sat up and Guerrero kicked him twice. And I guess I'd written something that, why would you no-sell a brain buster in a chair by Eddie Guerrero or something like that? And I guess his explanation was he was told by Eddie to show his face, so he sat up and Eddie kicked him and said it again. And regardless, I don't remember. It's all water under the bridge. If I screwed that up, I apologize. Yeah, this is the thing that really drove me crazy, though. Jimmy seems to think that I'm a writer. Like, that's my thing. Like maybe I've had a couple of matches in my career, and you know, maybe I've had two dozen matches or whatever here and there. I started in 1998, and it is currently 2007. And I had a downtime there for about a year and a half after the hair match when the business was ruined for me in the ring, and you know, lately I don't do an awful lot of shows, but I guarantee that I did no less than 200 matches before the first King of the Indies show in 2001, when Ring of Honor hadn't even been conceived of yet, and you know, this is something where I have wrestled. I have wrestled for a long time in many different places. And one of the things is the Northwest is like a black hole of wrestling. And it was actually Rip Rogers that said this to Buddy Wayne many years ago. He said it's like an island because things happen out here and nobody ever hears about it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I had periods where I would drive down to Oregon. This was the thing about it that drove me nuts. He was talking about how I was complaining about travel in the newsletter, and he was appalled by this. How could he be appalled about travel? I wasn't even appalled about travel. My gripe in the newsletter, and it wasn't even a gripe, I was making a statement about my schedule and how the travel impacted my schedule. Because I am going to do a newsletter every week, probably until the day I die, and I've done one every week since 1995. When certain people have had a summer vacation, or a Christmas break or a week off for spring break or whatever. I have not.
Right.
I have not taken a week off in 617 straight weeks. And that includes the week that I went to Portage. So in addition to having to write this newsletter, which is approximately half the length of The Great Gatsby or Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, every single week I write one of those, and I wrote it the week that I went.
Jimmy Jacobs?
What was that?
Or as tall as Jimmy Jacobs.
As tall as Jimmy Jacobs?
Oh, man.
I write one of these damn things every single week, including the week I went to Portage. So my statement was that I did this and I went to Portage. I talked about the flight and everything like that, and I did conclude by saying I still love the business, despite all of this. That was the point of the rant.
Right.
But I can tell you of times that every single week we went to Oregon and back. Jimmy talked about 30,000 miles on his car last year. We should get Vince on this show and ask him how many miles that we put on his car year after year. We had to go to Cloverdale, British Columbia, Vancouver. We had to go to Southern Oregon. We had to go to Portland. We had to go to the coast of both states. And we did this every single solitary week. So I was annoyed when I heard this, you're a writer. You don't need to be in the ring, this and that. It was that frustrated me. So that was pretty much the rebuttal that I wanted to make here that, you know, I have done this for a long, long time.
Let me say that everyone loves this business doesn't love the travel. I, for one, said that when I after 20 years, if I could have wrestled in the same town three or four times a week, I probably would have still wrestled a few more years.
Mm. Yeah.
But because I was in broadcasting and producing shows as well, and it's just I was juggling too many balls, and being on the road didn't allow time for that too. But Jimmy's talking about 30,000 miles in a year, and I'd be afraid to tell you, I used to trade cars every 2 years.
Yeah.
Because get up close to and that was just on my car, and then some weeks you rode with other guys, some too. So
yeah.
I mean, you realize we were out working six nights a week.
The Dooley's in the chat room. He says if anybody's actually read the Figure Four Weekly, you'd know that Brian is not a writer.
How dare you? His subscription is about to be canceled. Let him know that.
The members of the Empire are flooding the chat room right now.
Oh, my God.
God almighty. Chris Benoit, I just read an interview with Chris Benoit, and he made the comment that I love being in the ring, and I hate every other part of this business. Hates the travel, hates everything like that. And, I've just got this to say. We once did a show, actually we did this many times, but there's one show I remember in particular. We drove to Southern Oregon, which is on the border of California, and we're like, way up in Washington, Seattle. This was like I don't even remember how many hours it was, but 6, 8, something absurd, 11, I don't know. It's probably about 6, 7 hours, but we drove down, we put the ring up, largely Vince putting the ring up, but put it up, did the show, and drove all the way back home. And anybody who's done that and says, boy, I sure loved that 12-hour round trip and taking bumps, anybody who says they love that, something's wrong with you.
You're right.
The travel is no fun.
No.
No, it's not.
No, except, it's not.
But the Steak and Shake burgers were good, though.
They were very good.
Yes.
They were very good.
Yeah, okay.
I never had Steak and Shake before. Never. That was the first time I've ever had Steak and Shake.
That was the first time I ever heard of Steak and Shake.
Yeah, but you live on the West Coast. There's like, I don't know, six of them around here.
Yeah.
There's one 5 minutes from my front door.
Steak and Shake.
There, but anyway.
But anyway, let's get into the hot topic this week, Brian. Of course, we mentioned this earlier in the program that WWE and Memphis Wrestling, they had a little tiff, I guess, on this last week. I don't know all the details on it, and I know you do, so explain it to us.
Well, what happened was Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon had a falling out, and Vince had this huge WrestleMania coming up, and he didn't need Hulk Hogan on it, and he laid down the law, and Hogan was off the show, and Hogan is a 53-year-old man who, if you've ever watched Hogan Knows Best, has got nothing to do, and he wants to do something. So there was a match with Hogan and Lawler about 20 years ago, and I believe the finish was a DQ or something like that, but they've played this tape on Memphis TV for like 2 decades, and all they show is Lawler beating the hell out of Hulk Hogan. And, obviously it's a way to put Lawler over in Memphis and that sort of thing, but... Mm-hmm. It ended up turning into an angle with Hogan several months back, And they kept talking on the Memphis TV about doing a Lawler-Hogan match. And I was like, this will never happen. This is absurd. Because Hogan's only going to work for WWE. He had opportunities to go to TNA, and he was never going to show up in the Nashville Fairgrounds. He's never going to show up in a building that seats 900 like the Impact Zone. He's Hulk Hogan. He wants people to know that he's important. Mm-hmm. So I thought, this match is not taking place. So they kept talking about it, and they kept talking about it. And the next thing you know, they announced that it was actually going to take place. And first it was going to take place in the, what the hell is the building in Memphis?
The pyramid?
No, the smaller building.
The Coliseum.
Coliseum, the Mid-South Coliseum.
Yeah.
First it was going to be the Mid-South Coliseum, and that whole thing fell through. They were told that it would cost so much to renovate the building for this one match that it would not be worth it. So they ended up hooking up with the FedEx Forum. They announced it on TV. The date is April 27th. Tickets were scheduled to go on sale this Saturday. This past Saturday. Hogan was scheduled to be live in the studio this past Saturday to hype it up. And it was like, on. And then Lawler went to TV last week, and they said, are you planning on wrestling Hulk Hogan at the FedEx Forum? And he was like, yes. And they said, well, no. And the thing is that Lawler has an announcer's contract, and he's free to do pretty much anything he wants in wrestling. They pretty much let him do whatever he wants in Memphis. If he wanted to take a lot of indie dates, he could take indie dates, that sort of thing. So he could do this show, but they told him no, and so he's not doing this show. So they had a big press conference, and Lawler came out, and he tried to explain that, I can't do this show because I am under WWE contract, and they are owned by NBC Universal, and this Hogan match is going to be taped for Hogan Knows Best, which is on VH1, and thus I am not allowed to appear on a VH1 show, which, of course, is complete BS, because a number of people have appeared on Hogan's show, including Vince McMahon, and half the crew at SummerSlam. So that was a total lie, but he had to make some sort of story. So,
but it was a good lie.
Well, no, because then Hogan immediately went up, and Hogan immediately said, that's a lie. Vince McMahon has been on my show. So he shifted the heat to Lawler, and long story short, they are now going to do, this is the plan at least, Hulk Hogan versus The Big Show, Paul White, is going to be the main event of the show on the 27th. They announced it on Saturday at the press conference, and they put tickets on sale, and as of today, which is, what would it be, 11 days before the show or whatever, you can still get a ticket for row 5.
Oh no.
Now to me, this is, I would say with 90% certainty, and you can bring me on in 12 days and either say I was right or I was wrong, with 90% certainty, I would say the show is not taking place. Or at least Hogan will not wrestle on the show. Because the whole deal is he's trying to make a point here that he does not need WWE, which everything that Hogan does is in some way an attempt to get back into WWE. He wants to prove a point to Vince McMahon here. And if this show has like an advance of 2,000 tickets next week, and the building seats 19,000, I cannot fathom in a million years Hogan stepping foot into a building that's not even half full, like a quarter full. I just can't see it happening. I think he'll have a knee injury. I think something else will come up. VH1, some sort of wacky story with VH1. I just can't fathom him doing this show and looking like a guy that can't draw.
That's true.
There's
that makes a lot of sense.
That. You know, the thing about this, and I've been following it, and of course I wrestled in Memphis a million years ago. Memphis has always been a very good wrestling town. Of course, Lawler, the first time I met Lawler was on his radio show doing an interview for wrestling before he actually got in the business. But he's always been such a huge part since he started in the business. And you know, obviously, maybe next to Fargo, the biggest star ever. And that Billy Wicks and Fargo and Lawler, I guess, would be the three biggest stars ever in that city. I think the shame of this is that opposed to the personal whims or problems or, you know, whatever, with the mayor of Memphis stepping up to make this announcement, to me, WWE would have scored a great public relations coup by allowing it to happen and feathered their own nest with the city for whatever reason they might want to on down the line, and for the wrestling business in general, I think.
I should actually know that there was one major part of the story that I didn't mention, which is that Vince McMahon actually pulled a Paco Alonso, who's a promoter in Mexico, and this actually about 2 weeks prior, there had been a big falling out in Mexico between Paco Alonso, who's the head of CMLL, and El Hijo del Santo, who is the son of the biggest star there's ever been in Mexico, where they had a falling out, and Paco Alonso basically said, anybody in my company that works on a show that Santo is even on, this is not, you cannot wrestle Santo. You can't even be on a show that he's on. If you work the show, you're fired. And Vince basically said, nobody is allowed to work any show that Hulk Hogan is on. So Lawler can't, it's not even just Lawler can't wrestle Hogan. Lawler can't be on the show. They pulled all of the talent from the Memphis TV this week because Hogan was going to be on it. And the big question, which nobody really has an answer to at this point, is, are they going to allow WWE talent and Lawler on Memphis TV if Hogan is not there? Because if they've banned everybody, and it's like a permanent ban of Memphis TV, that show's dead.
Right.
And that show's been on the air for, I believe, 1 million years.
Something like that, yes.
But, you know, I mean, if it's just a deal where if Hogan's not there, the guys can go down, that's one thing. Everything will be fine. But if it's a deal where they're all permanently pulled, that show's dead.
Yeah. I think for the public relations value for the company, when they get ready to go there, they'll go there, and the mayor's not going to stop them or anything. I just think it was, and especially, Lawler's, here again, you got to do, whoever you're under contract to, it's a business, and you have to do what the deal is, obviously. But he's done a good job for WWE over the years, and in any other city, I'd say, hey, I totally understand. But in Memphis, I just think it's, I don't know, petty. Is that a good word?
Yeah. Well, it's Hogan and Vince playing a game with each other. It's sort of like a war. It is a war. I mean, it's a war, and there are a bunch of innocent casualties, is what this is.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And neither side is going to back down on this. Except if one side does, it'll be Hogan backing out of the show.
Right. It's one thing to air the gossip and dirty laundry in on the websites and in the newsletters and on the talk shows and stuff, but to do it in a public forum like that, I won't say it again, it's not going to kill the business. It may, like you say, Brian, it may kill that TV if this persists. But the sad thing is, it's bad for the image of the business in general, I think.
Yeah.
Stevie J asks, is this the first time they've ever pulled WWE talent off a local promotion like this?
Usually you don't even get WWE talent on a local promotion.
No, you don't. Not anymore, anyway.
Memphis was like it's a holdout. It's one of the last. I mean, I guess the other places would be, Ohio Valley TV, and even the guys are allowed to go down for Booker T's shows in Deep South, but, I mean, you don't usually see WWE allowing their guys to work, local groups.
Right. And once in a great while, now, when I have my contract, if this wasn't a hard, fast rule, but if somebody wanted to use one of my guys, they preferred A, to be sure that they had a good ring, it was a safe ring to work in, but more importantly, try to book two of my guys against each other, that way they were sure of the outcome anyway, that everybody was going to be come out of it, or at least as safe as you can come out of a professional wrestling match anyway. So, yeah, that whole thing, the complexion of that has changed. I know years ago, before I was ever under contract to them, I'd booked Foley, I'd booked Road Dogg, et cetera, Al Snow, several guys on a couple shows at a time, and then that don't happen anymore, man. It just don't happen.
Les, did you guys talk about the Pillman shows yet?
No.
What's the story?
I don't have a clue, Brian. No one. I just found out about it a few days ago. No one from HWA or no one from the Pillman family has even asked my opinion. So I don't have a clue.
Interesting. Yeah, I just heard about that a couple of days ago, and I was like, huh, how about that?
I know absolutely nothing. I know I've had a couple people email me or call and ask me if I was involved, and no, I don't know. I don't know what their idea is. I don't know what they're doing. I mean, I, you know, except from what I've been told, you know, for people that have read, you know, well, I read it, you know, on Tuesday news update on Observer site today, and then Mike Johnson mentioned something about it on Insider. Other than that, I don't have a clue.
Hmm.
Weird, odd. Brian, I want to thank you for being on Hot Topic tonight. We'll see you, I guess, again in about 3 weeks. Guys, check out Brian Alvarez's stuff. He's got a free Brian and Vinny show. It's today, right?
There is a free Brian and Vinny show up today. And I should also note that if you're a fan of MMA and you're going to watch UFC this weekend, in the members area, we've got an hour and 20-minute conference call with Dana White and Mirko Krokop that took place today. So
oh, sweet.
Pretty much they answer all the questions about what's going on with UFC Pride and everything like that. So.
I know I mentioned this the last time you were on, and I've been airing and not touching base with you, but I've got to hook up with you so I can get into the damn site because...
Uh-oh, something went wrong?
My password and username and all that doesn't work for some reason.
Mine didn't work at first either.
Well...
I'll hook you up because I'm sure something we had a little bit of weirdness a couple of weeks ago when we were trying to redesign the site and switch servers. So something may have gone wrong.
Well, you know, at my age, my mind is feeble and I forget things. So if you can hook me up with the same username and the same password, that'll work.
F4WOnline.com, guys, or
that's
Figure
right.
4 Online.
Figure 4 Online, purchased just for Doc.
Just for me, and I appreciate that.
That's right.
Yeah, I've been hanging around his forums, and I swear, Brian, I was reading your forums yesterday about the Troll Hall of Fame,
yeah.
And I was laughing so loud. I didn't get
what
to finish
Hall of Fame?
It. The Troll Hall of Fame.
The Troll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
The
stupidest
posters we've ever had, basically.
I didn't even get to finish it. I was laughing so loud, and people say, oh, I was laughing, and I almost died, and they, you know, you don't mean it, but I was laughing, and I seriously thought I was going to puke. And I had to lay down, and I still couldn't stop laughing. So I'm laying down, I'm nauseous, and I'm laughing, and everybody thought I was a weirdo. But, yeah, I'm starting to get on your message board a little bit too much there.
Our board is very similar to the Old West.
Anything goes. It quite is. So check it out, guys, F4WOnline.com. Brian, we'll see you again soon, and thank you for being on the show today.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Brian, always a pleasure, buddy. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we've got Scott Norton and Buff Bagwell coming up on the show, Vicious and Delicious. They're going to be our...
Before we check out, are we not going to do the last episode of If You Want to Be a Wrestler?
Yeah, we could do that right now.
Well, see, that's a clever... I'm glad you thought of that.
Yeah. I didn't even... No. Actually, I was going to take a break and do that, but let me pull it up here.
Why don't we just do it and then take a break, and when we come back, guess what? We'll have our guest.
Les, you are the man.
No, actually, I'm not.
You should format this show.
It's called After You've Lived As Long As I Have, you get a little common sense if you didn't have any to begin with.
You should format this show every week for us. All right, here it is. Yes, okay. As you know, we have been discussing over the past few weeks tips and, you know, advice for guys just getting into the business, people who have just gotten past their training and they're just starting, or guys who just, you know, want to get into the business. So check out our last three shows, except for last week, if you want to hear about that. Right now, we're on the final one, and this is general conduct for the Greenhorn. Now, this was a Ford... that I got in an email from an indie wrestler.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who wrote it, but we've been discussing this, like I said, for about 3 weeks. Here's the last one, and these are just little tips. There's about six of them here. You know, we're going to run these by Les, of course, somebody who's been in the business forever in every facet, and let's just see how true these things ring. Number one, do not call it blading under any circumstances. Listen to see what they call it in your territory, as it goes by many names, gig, gaff, and use that term. Blade job is a smark term.
No, it's not. At least it wasn't when I broke into business.
Right, I mean, but you still, you know, you still train, you still at the shows all the time.
But no, are you saying blade job is a smark term, meaning insider term or
sport? No, it's a term that the fans use.
Well, actually, because they heard it from somebody, yeah. But do you have a gaff? Do you have a blade? Will you get a little juice tonight? You know, will you gig? I've heard guys in my a lot of big names in this business use say blade. You know, will you mind doing a blade job tonight?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's not a lot of smart marks or fans may utilize it now, but it that's not who invented it. At least not if you're over the age of 18.
Right.
So, you know, I don't, yeah, well, you know, that's the other thing, too. If you want to get into the English language, or at least the English language of wrestling, when I first started reading the sheets, or when somebody talked about I jobbed, or I worked this guy, I'd never heard that in my life.
Uh-huh.
I've worked with you, but I've never worked you.
Right.
You work the you work the fans.
Right.
You work with your opponent.
Right.
And that's from 47 years ago. And I think that the sheets or the marks or the younger generation has made it. I worked so and so.
Yeah. Some of these.
I never worked another wrestler in my life.
Some of these terms have evolved.
Well, yeah.
Into different things.
But then a lot of guys, use different terms too.
Right.
There's a thing where you grab somebody and squeeze them a couple of times to get them to loosen up. Some people call it the office. You know, there's different names for that too. But
that
anyway,
one I've never heard.
Okay, well, see, and don't ever use it, kid.
I won't.
But anyway, go ahead.
Number two, in your early days, do not use insider terms. Many of these are archaic and incorrect, and will result in you being seen as a mark. The first thing you should do is forget everything the internet taught you about wrestling.
Yeah, our business. Well, of course, the business is so open now, you know. And again, like I say, I've never worked another wrestler. I have worked with other wrestlers. I've worked with every wrestler I've ever wrestled,
mm-hmm.
but I have never worked another wrestler unless it was in a rib,
right.
And I worked him, maybe. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You work the fans. Language evolves, right? I mean,
right.
I'm trying to think of something. There were songs back in the 50s talking about balling, but it meant partying.
Right.
It didn't mean sexual. It wasn't a sexual term, but then it became a sexual term.
Right.
And then, you know, like in the 60s or the 70s or whatever. So, yeah.
And I think a lot of the evolution of some of these words have happened in the last 10 years.
I'll tell you, when I first started my school, one of the things I did, and this came out of the Torch, actually. They had, in one of their year things, they had printed a glossary of terms, right?
Uh-huh.
And I picked the ones that actually I believed were good terms, you know, and some I didn't even know. That somebody, maybe some young wrestler or some fan had made up, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
When guys came to my school initially, I gave them a glossary of terms so they knew what the hell we were talking about.
Right.
You know? But, things evolve. So, yeah, it's hard to say.
So I guess what they're saying is, be quiet and listen to what everybody else is saying.
You know what? When you're young and just getting started, be quiet and listen anyway.
Right.
Regardless of the language used.
Right.
Go ahead.
Number three, and I find this one funny for some reason, but this is what it says. Vets should be considered dangerous. You may end up friends with them down the line, but in your early career, show them all the respect in the world. Shut up, listen, buy them beers, and kiss their without being too brown nosy about it.
Well, you know what? I don't know that you have to kiss anybody's or I don't know you have to buy me a beer, but I think if you're trying to go where I've gone, then you're... I'm going to sound like a smart ass when I say this, but I am sometimes. I've had young guys that I'm trying to teach want to debate with me,
uh-huh.
and just to stop them, I say, listen, here's my resume. Where's yours? When you've done what I've done, then we'll discuss this. Up till that point, shut the
right.
and listen, you know, but that's, you know, let me tell you something. I nobody had to tell me to keep my mouth shut when I was a kid because the old timers would have handed you a rear end,
mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. And there's still, you know, that's still possible with some guys. I mean, it's like, I'm sitting here watching the Reds and the Brewers with the audio off. They're playing here in Cincinnati tonight. There's a kid, Josh Hamilton, that's just up as a rookie with the Reds this year, who's playing good ball. But I bet he's keeping his mouth shut. He's not telling Ken Griffey Jr. how to play ball.
Right.
Or so. And if he is, he's digging a big hole for himself.
Yeah.
You know.
The rest of this now I agreed with number three up until they started saying buy them beers. But the rest, it gets worse. It says many veterans are bitter and very knowledgeable of shoot wrestling, as well as the common drug and alcohol problems. So many are mentally unstable, especially when dealing with rookies. They will not hesitate to kick the ever-loving crap out of you for any real or imagined slight. Tread carefully.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't care how many Hurricane Rainers you can do, or I forget what Dr. Tom used to call them. He had a funny expression for Hurricane Rana. I don't give a damn how many you can do. That don't mean you know how to work.
Right.
Al Snow used to say, you know, I can teach a mongoloid idiot to do a moonsault. Mm-hmm. What I can't teach him is how he got there and where he's going from there.
Right.
You know what? Here's the deal. You don't have to like me. You don't. You can think I'm. I don't care what you think. I've got almost a half century in this business, and I've obviously survived for some damn reason. So probably the smart thing to do is listen.
Right.
You know, not because it's me, but because of what I can offer you. If you want your butt kissed, go talk to your mother. Her name's on your. You know, I've told a lot of guys. And here again, if you're sitting across my desk and you're getting ready to start at my school, I'm going to say, listen. Your girlfriend's going to lie to you and tell you you're the best sex she's ever had, and your mother's going to lie and tell you you're the most handsome boy she's ever seen. I'm not sleeping with you. My name's not on your birth certificate. My job is to make you the best wrestler, and how? There's one of the ways I can do that is I have to correct your mistakes.
Right.
If I tell you your dropkick sucks, that doesn't mean you're a bad person or I hate you. It means your dropkick sucks.
Right.
It means you need to improve that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're offended by that, then you're in the wrong damn business.
Mm-hmm.
Because, listen, there's too many, and when I say this, there were guys, it was back when I broke in, you may have had that type of ego, but you didn't dare show it.
Right.
Because that, for a fact, you'd get your butt handed to you, plain and simple. I don't know that that happens so much anymore, but there are young guys, and I won't mention who this guy was. I had a prominent young wrestler who I highly respect and think is a good hand, say to me one time that, he was tired of hearing some of the guys from my generation talk how the business sucks, but they had no answer to change it, right? In other words, they wanted to tell you it was bad, but they didn't have an alternative.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. I agree. I mean, if I tell you something's bad, I'll also try to tell you a way to improve it, right?
Uh-huh.
But I agree with him. I said, but now, I told the young guy, here's the other side of that coin. How many guys from your generation say, oh, that guy's, he's telling me this is wrong or this is wrong with match because he's jealous. Jealous of what? That you've worked in front of 50 people in Podunk, Virginia's armory? is that what he's jealous of? You've got to realize that most of the guys from my generation, even in the small territories, probably worked in front of more people in a week than most of the kids on the indies today work in front of in 6 months.
Right.
You know, and had to go out there and build a show without music, without costumes, without is that bitter? No, but I'm damn sure proud of that. You know, can somebody run faster than you know? They just celebrated Jackie Robinson's 60 years Sunday, the April the 15th. Now, I didn't see Jackie in 47. I saw him here in he played here in that was in 1947. I think 2 weeks after he broke in. But I saw him in 48 when I was 7 years old, and I was raised in a colorblind family, so I didn't at seven I didn't realize that I knew it was something special, but I didn't realize the significance, the social significance. But I knew damn well that was a great athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't care what color you are, if you don't respect what Jackie Robinson does, you can kiss my butt.
Right.
And that's got nothing to do with wrestling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or Babe Ruth or Hank Aaron or whoever,
mm-hmm.
you know. You know, those who have come before
John
you.
John Madden.
Huh?
John Madden.
John Madden. You're absolutely damn right. Or Vince Lombardi. If you know what? If if you think that you can't learn from a veteran, now, I'm not telling you there's not malicious guys. I'm not telling you there's guys that are not bitter. You know, I'm not, you know, I had a good career. Would I have loved to have made $12 trillion? You're damn right. No matter what I had done, whether it was play pinochle, you know, what I would have liked to have been a millionaire, but that wasn't destined to be. But my thought is I want to teach. I like teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But for me to teach, I've got to I'm very blunt to the point, as you know.
Right?
If you don't like that, I'm sorry, you know? But, you know, don't, and it's like I would take a stance similar to Jim Cornette. It's not how I say it, but what I say. You know, Jimmy goes off on some rants even worse than mine sometimes, but can he make you a better player? You're damn right he can. Mm-hmm. Pay attention, you know? Or Benoit. I heard Benoit go off on a kid in my gym one night. I mean, that it called him everything but a human being.
Wow.
But it was because of Chris's passion and the price he had paid to get to where he's at.
Yeah.
There's too many, and when I say is it a generational thing? Yes. You just heard me talk about a young guy at the beginning of the show who, you know, had a tremendous work ethic, and I respect him and love him.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know what? There may be another young guy at the same age who has a lot more talent but is a lazy ass, and I don't have any time for him.
Right.
You know? And when you think you know more or you've stopped learning this business, you're dead, man. I mean, you're just done. So, I don't know that it's – I mean, are there people – hell, there's young guys that are bitter.
Yeah.
You know, bitterness is not an age thing. It's, you know – again, sure, I wish I had made a million. Sure, I'd love to wrestle WrestleMania in front of 80,000 people. But it wasn't, you know, but I'm not mad about it. I had a great career, brother. I'll tell you what, I said this in my column Insider. After watching the Hall of Fame induction, I heard when Dusty had Flair and Arn and Harley stand up and was talking about it, he spoke for our whole generation. And
yeah.
You know what? I've worked with more good workers than will probably ever be again in this friggin' business, because that's just the way it was. Because the art of the work is not disappearing because we're jealous or we're trying to make it disappear, because the generation doesn't want to learn it. It's too hard. They prefer the easy out. You've heard me say this before. Now, if you don't like me, I don't care. You know, the facts are the friggin' facts. And you know. Those guys, I thought, yeah, let's go do it again. And you know what? You don't have to pay me a dime more, and I'll hate to travel, just like Brian was talking about. But, brother, I worked with some of the damn best, and I'm proud of that. And, you know, I told some of my own students, you know, you can think I'm an idiot, but just remember I've worked with some of the top guys, and I have a good memory, so I remember what they told me. So don't think it's that I'm smart. They were, okay? I mean, I don't care how you perceive what I'm telling you. Just listen and shut up.
All right.
You know?
Let's try to get through these next three quickly, because
we've got
our interview coming up.
You should have never started this then.
Number four, if you're a greenhorn or a vet, this rule stands firm. Keep your ring rats out of the locker room.
I keep everybody out of the locker room. I see too many. Seriously. The locker room is the wrestlers. I don't care. Your brother, your mother, your girl. Unless you are working on the show or commission. I mean, I've even asked commissioners to leave after they've checked licenses and stuff, because to me, this is where the wrestler can let his hair down. He doesn't have to be in character. He doesn't have to. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Right. He can sit and scratch himself. He can, you know, whatever. You know, it's the place where he can let his hair down and relax before he goes and performs and after he comes back.
All right. But he said, he goes on, and I'm going to paraphrase this next sentence because it's not what it actually says, but these groupies are here to entertain you on the road, not to suggest angles and involve themselves in the promotion. Bringing your rat into the locker room will cause trouble. Don't do it.
I agree 100%. They have, whether they're there to entertain you or not is not even the question. Whether it's music or baseball or wrestling or whatever, soccer, ping pong probably has its groupies. I don't know, but the point is, as much as I don't want you sharing finishes and stuff with the fans 40 years ago, I don't want you doing it now.
Right.
You know, and I see that happen in the indies too much. Hey, buy me a beer and I'll let you in on something. Buy your own damn beer.
Right.
No, I mean, yeah,
number five.
I agree with that 100%.
And I don't know if you agree with this next one or not, because I remember something you've said about this, but let me read it anyway. It says, a belt is just a prop. Never lobby for a title win. They'll just think you're a mark.
I don't think that you lobby. And the belts, thanks to the big companies, and that's who you have to thank, and the little companies by follow suit and switch them so frequently that they don't mean as much. But I do think that I have always felt this, that any time that I was awarded a belt, I won't say I won a belt, but a belt was put on me, tag, single, whatever, or given a title shot, I always felt that was a vote of confidence from that promotion, that mm-hmm. they thought you could carry the ball. And I think you should treat it as such. And I won't say the company, and I won't say the person, but I saw a jackass pretend to be with carrying beer around, and he's wearing a title for this company. And I told the owner and the booker, I said, you know what, that's not Steve Austin. He's just he's a buffoon,
right,
with beer.
Right.
And your champion should be a cut above that.
Mm-hmm.
Your champion should be your champion.
And you should definitely.
There was a reason that Harley and Dory and Flair and Terry and Luthez and Dick Hutton, those guys wore those belts.
Yeah, and this isn't on the forward here, but I can say with 100% certainty at this point, do not try to imitate somebody on national TV.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what I hate to see, and I never did it when I had a company, and I loathe seeing it now, is going out and imitating gimmicks.
Right.
Or if...
Catchphrases.
That neat angle that WWE did Monday night, let's do it tonight.
Right.
Let's don't.
Right.
Because all you are is a bad... When I say you're a bad imitation, that's not an insult. You obviously don't have a $500,000 production budget to do your show. And if you had that kind of talent, you would be on their show, not on your show.
Right.
You know, this is a place. The Indies are a place to learn.
Right.
I hate seeing, they have a lot of run-ins in TNA. They have a lot of runs in WWE. Yes, idiot, they do. But you, as an independent wrestler, should learn how to do a finish. You should learn some intricate finishes. You should learn how you can do a job, and a clean job, and not kill your character, as well as you should learn, a good heel should learn how to steal a match and get heat without killing the babyface.
Right.
Got to realize, real quickly here, no matter how many times Flair and Steamboat ever wrestled, Steamboat has told us several times in our clinics, Ricky only won 3 matches. But yet he was one of the hottest babyfaces of that era, and Flair obviously, Flair knew how to take care of Ricky, but Ricky also knew how to get Rick Flair over mm-hmm. without killing himself. That's an art,
and
run-ins and outside interference is not an art.
Right. And something more modern in that is Tommy Dreamer versus Raven in ECW. Those guys feuded for pretty close to 2 years. Tommy Dreamer never once pinned Raven, but nobody remembers that.
Well, you know what? Great finishes and great bookers and great angles. Leo Garibaldi, to me, was one of the greatest bookers of all time. The Anderson brothers, and the original Andersons, Lars and Gene, as well as Gene and Ole, were red hot in Georgia for years as baby faces. The Torres brothers, Enrique and Alberto and Ramon, were hot in Georgia. You got to realize that Georgia territory was within the state. They never went outside the state of Georgia. They worked basically with spot shows thrown in the same towns 4 to 5 nights a week, right? Mm-hmm. And yet these guys didn't have to leave those territories. Wrestling Tim Woods, Mr. Wrestling, or Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker, or the bookers at that point, whether it was Tom Renesto or Leo Garibaldi or whoever it happened to be, knew the business, and they didn't use cheap finishes like outside interference or run-ins.
Right.
They actually knew, and that's how to hook your people and bring them back. I just mentioned Lydell winning, the sentimental favorite, but the underdog,
mm-hmm.
and he won. Well, obviously that's not a work, but you can learn from that. Pay attention.
Right.
You know?
Lastly, and I think we can agree on this one, realize how much of a greenhorn you are. Tone down the superiority act with the marks. Getting too big for your britches will harm your career.
Yeah.
As The Rock would say, just know your role and work your way up.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes, there's nothing, you know. Again, never stop learning. You know? I'll be celebrating my 47th anniversary, my first match of July the 4th, and I've been training people since 93, and I'm still trying to find ways to improve how I train, and you know, if I were still wrestling, I'd be trying to find ways to improve my matches.
Right.
And the best guys in this business are that way. And when you think you know it all, brother, you're dead.
So, guys, if nothing else, hopefully you picked up something that that you can use from last year.
Let's hope so.
Guys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, our featured guests, Vicious and Delicious, Scott Norton and Buff Bagwell, going to be here. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, Right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you at Wrestling Weekly, guys. On the line right now, well, it's half of Vicious and Delicious. We had, I guess what happened was sort of a time mix-up. But Scott Norton is here with us right now. Buff Bagwell, he's working tonight.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but yeah, he's got a show tonight. So we thought we'd be on a little earlier, but I'll cover for him like I have.
I'll be a smart aleck and say, are you Vicious or Delicious?
I'm the good-looking one. Big guy, you know, nice smile and everything.
Sweet. Yeah. So
you guys are, I've noticed on a couple websites and read in a couple of the sheets that you guys are trying to get the team back together and do some indie work, right?
Yeah, we're definitely going to get back together. We've done a press release in Japan, and we're going to hopefully work at some there, and we're going to be doing the indie scene here, and we're to take it wherever we can go, you know what I mean? The response has been excellent. The fans want to see it. And, you know, I'm just excited to get back to work in the States. It's been a while. And it just, you know, with Bagwell, I mean, we're so different that it works. It really does. I mean,
yin and yang, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the people, you know, when we're working together, I mean, we got a good solid response, and the people are excited about it now, and I'm certainly excited, and you know, we go out there and put a crowd on its, you know.
Definitely.
On its ear, you know, I mean.
You know what I was just watching the other night again was Over the Top.
No kidding.
Which is, of course, everybody's favorite arm wrestling movie.
Well, it's the only arm wrestling movie out there.
Yeah, that's why it's with 100% certainty that it's everybody's favorite.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. So okay.
But I have to ask: did you ever, you know, out of you know, the spirit of competition or whatever off screen, did you ever arm wrestle Stallone and see who would actually win?
Well, he wanted to. He took all these shots of all the guys with just our, you know, it was supposed to be our arms.
Mm-hmm.
And him, you know, because he, you know, he wanted to show him beating everybody, you know, with the big arm guys, you know. So we locked up, you know, and anyways, right before we're going to do this, you could just tell the sense that he's loading up, he's getting all psyched, you know, he's kind of going to, you know, I'm going to let him win this little match or this little TV set deal here.
Mm-hmm.
But he's loading up on me, you know. So anyways, I just figured I'd just stop him dead, you know. So he went whoop, and he just sort of like hitting the telephone pole. We laughed, you know. But I'll tell you what, the guy trained so hard to be an arm wrestler. He went through everything that we went through. We taught him all the techniques. All the positioning himself on the table, you know, the grips, and he just, I mean, it was actually like when you're locking up with the guy and watching him do his thing, he was just like an arm wrestler. It was really, you know, he was pretty thorough. And but he wasn't a weak person by any means. I mean, he, you know, he wouldn't compete with any of the top guys, but he, you know, he was in shape, but he was ready.
Unlike Doc, I didn't have to ask who would have won that arm wrestling match.
Well, yeah.
I basically wanted to know if they'd actually just went ahead and did it. You know, if Stallone just came up to him and was like, you know, if this wasn't a movie, I'd still win.
You know.
You know,
you know, he's a competitive guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, the scene in that movie where Bull Hurley punches him in the nose,
mm-hmm.
well, it was, you know, kind of a deal where the reason it happened that way is because they were just, it wasn't supposed to be like that, but it ended up happening where they're kind of going back and forth in the strap, and he popped him in the nose, you know. Stallone loved it, so then they made a scene out of it, you know. And I mean, he actually, the first time really popped him in the nose. And, you know, but he was all over it. I mean, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't complaining. He wasn't nothing, you know. I mean, it was, so he's, you know, I mean, I know the movies, I'm sure, you know, the Rocky movies, he gets whacked around pretty good in them, too, every once in a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was,
You know, Scott, we're talking about train of arm wrestling, but something that a lot of the kids, the younger guys starting out in the indies, don't pay attention to, and I know you do, and I always did, is good in terms of weight training. And just real briefly, and then we'll move on to some questions in the chat room, but what kind of schedule do you train? One body part a day? Do you train four on, two off, or how exactly do you lift?
Well, I do one major body part a day. I still do the push-pull thing. You know, when
right.
I'm pushing shoulders or chest, I'm doing my triceps. When I'm pulling, I'm you know, throwing biceps in there. But what I do differently now from not doing as much of a power schedule is on my chest tricep day, I do a light tricep, as heavy chest as I possibly can. And then I have, at the end of the week, I do an arm workout.
Right.
And it's just solid arms. So Monday, you know, I'm doing chest tri. Tuesday, I do back by. Wednesday, I go for legs. Thursday, I'll do shoulders, and then on Friday, I just go in and lift as light as I can and do as many sets of arms as I possibly can to, I guess, you know, get cramps in my hand, can't write my name, and go home.
Right.
But, you know, but it ain't like it used to be, but it's easier now because if I could train the way that I train now, if I could have trained like this when I was in my late 20s, I'd have been so far ahead of the game because we're all about being as strong as you could be, mean, you know, just gritty.
Right.
We weren't messing around. I mean, we went to the gym and we just pounded it, and it tore us apart.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now I'm a lot smarter. You know, I've been in the gym with Scott Steiner, and you know how great he looks, and I've been in the gym with a lot of guys. It's Steiner.
Yes. Well, you know, when you talk about intensity, and a lot of guys think they understand that word, but you got to work out with somebody at that level to really understand what the word intensity means. A lot of the younger guys wouldn't know. You'll know the name Tom Platz.
Oh, absolutely.
And I had the opportunity. Yeah, his second wife was from Cincinnati, and she used to train at the World Gym that I helped design and build here. And anyway, I had the opportunity to train chest one day with Tom. And when I was fatigued, dead, and could barely move, he was still doing incline dumbbells with 120-pound dumbbells, and I was under his elbows and forcing the reps and then stalling him out halfway down, hold it, bringing him down another few inches, hold it. And I thought, Jesus Christ. But these young guys who've never seen Platz in the legs to understand what kind of leg workouts he used to do, which, I mean, the average man would have died under the squat rack, for God's sake.
I read the horror stories. Honestly, I've read articles about his leg workouts and what training partners, people not showing up, just
yeah,
ridiculous. It was just completely crazy. I remember doing shoulders with Kazmaier in Japan.
Oh, God.
One time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got a question asked on another radio show the other day. Was, you know, Bill and I were supposed to stay together in Japan. And they brought Bill in, and they explained the situation that they're, you know, I was just coming off the movie Over Top, and they're putting a rocket on me. They're giving me the big push. I had a great opportunity, and I was there for a while. And they told Bill that, you know, he would be my tag partner, basically. And Bill didn't take it, which, you know, he came to me. We talked. He was one of the nicest guys. We did a shoulder workout at the Kano gym in Tokyo. It's a Gold's gym. All the bars are bent anyways. It's total. I mean, it's just a mess. But anyways, it's a great old scrappy iron hole, you know. Anyways, remember when Bill Kazmaier used to hold the batteries out in the World's Strongest Man competition?
Right.
Well, I was dumb enough to bring that up to him. Yeah, I said, how'd you train him? He's like, come on over here. Next thing we're doing front raises with 100-pound dumbbells, and, you know, if you did six, he does seven. If he does seven, I'm going to try to do eight. You know, and I mean, the veins in the side of my head were the size of my thumbs. It was just, I was going to kill myself. And this guy is just insane. And it wasn't actually, it did get to where we're working ourselves out no more. We're just, you know, it just like, you know, it was like, who's going to push who off the side of the hill here, you know? And so I know what you mean about, you know, doing chess with Tom Platz. I mean, it just, you get some of the positions once in a while, you can't get out of it.
It's another zone, right? I mean, it's out of this world. I mean,
well, you know, another thing, Tom doesn't go take 25 bumps in a, you know, every night either. He doesn't go out there and bust his ass in the ring. He goes and rests, and he heals, and he gets ready for his next workout. And people don't realize that, you know. I did a story in Japan one time where they, you know, these people are asking, you know, how hard is it to be a pro wrestler in Japan? And I said, well, it's crazy. Because of the travel, the workouts, and we do a show every night. And, you know, what these people think is we do a show and we leave and that's it. You know, we get up and do it all over again.
Sure.
And then you get up and do it all over again. Then you go through the jet lag. You go through all this exhaustion, these periods of just fatigue. And you fight through all these things. And, you know, well, a normal weightlifter, you know, a bodybuilder or, you know, just a guy, you know, he goes to works 9 to 5 and hits gym after work and, you know, he's home, he rests. We don't rest. So we're robbed of a lot of, you know, time when you get to heal up, you
right.
know, and you don't really heal, you know, and that's half the problem, you know, and that's where a lot of these injuries come about, you know, that's why a lot of these tears. People are tearing triceps, biceps, and they're blowing their knees out and their quads. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, the way Hunter's blowing his quad out twice, is that don't happen on a normal. I mean, if you were going to hear about it happening with these big running backs or big linemen as well developed as their quads are, it doesn't happen because, you see, they're not pounding legs the day of their, you know, the day they go work,
right?
Go play football. See, everything's a rest. Everything's a they peak for a situation. We don't get to do that.
No.
And, you know, that's why I wish that I was lifting the way I am now when I was younger.
Yeah.
Because I had to save myself probably a lot of time.
Definitely a good point.
Yeah.
I want to get some questions from the chat room here before we get out of here. Who better says, do you still talk to Ice Train?
Do I still talk to Ice Train?
Yeah.
No.
He was.
We never seen eye to eye.
No,
it wasn't. That wasn't my idea to be a tag partner. One of my, I gave my best. Whatever reason.
Just sort of two.
There are a few reasons. I mean,
two different personalities.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, but no, I don't. I mean, I haven't talked to Ice Train in years.
Rhode Island Red says, when WWE bought out WCW, did you have any talks with Vince McMahon about coming to WWE?
No. I had already re-signed with New Japan, and that was my goal. I wanted to get my run here in the States. That's why I kept my job in Japan, because I wanted that security over there, knowing that I had it before I actually came to the States. Then went back to Japan during my run here. But no, I did not. And I did talk before I went to WCW. I had talks with WWF at the time. And then Eric slipped in and I made an agree with him.
Uh-huh. Rhode Island Red says, all right, I did that one. Mean Gene says, do you still have tons of free NWO shirts left?
No, I have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Nobody I know has got one. My wife's got a bunch of them. I don't know where she keeps coming up with them, but I don't have any. I tell you what, I don't even know. I'm sure I got some stuff up in the attic that I'm going to, you know, pull out of the old mothballs there, but no, I don't. But we had, you know, that's kind of silly not to have because they had zillions of them for us.
Mm-hmm.
You need shirts? Hey, man, I need some shirts. And a lot of guys, I mean, they got their shirts. You know, I mean, we had plenty of stuff, but I'm sure I got some, but not enough.
EITNA fan says, do you see yourself as the sexiest guy Gene of all time?
Okay. No, wait a minute. That, no, but that who is this asking this question?
EITNA fan.
TNA fan. Do I see myself as the most sexiest guy Gene?
I think that was from your comment when you came, when you first came on.
Oh, crap. You know, I guess I deserve this one. No, definitely not. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I mean, if you want to put me up against Vader or something, I'm like, you know, I could pull it off.
We're all better looking than Vader, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that my friend's bulldog looks better than Vader, but, you know, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
They're asking if you'd ever worked with Harry Smith, and if so, how does he compare with Davey Boy?
No, I haven't, but he worked for my office in Japan, and the reports I got from the guys, they loved working with him. He was coming along real good. I don't know. Where is he at? Is he in WWE?
He's down there in Deep South, I think.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, I believe so. He and Neidhart's daughter, too.
Yeah.
Okay. I know Neidhart's daughter dates a friend of mine, TJ, from Canada. He's a heck of a young guy.
He's down there, too, Scott.
Oh, he's down there, too?
Yeah, as far as I know. Certainly he is, yeah.
Hell of a kid. What a great kid he is, man.
I heard he was. I've never seen him work.
I mean, just, you know, a lot of guys like that, you know, I just got to know, you know, I know Rocky Romero real good and, like, Machine Gun Carl Anderson, and there's some good guys coming up in this business, young guys that can, they're great talents, they're great people, and it's just, it's good to know, you know, and TJ's one of them kind of guys, you know. So he's down, well, heck, he's here.
Yeah, he's down there with Jeremy, yes.
I'm going to have to go down there and grab that little son of a gun.
I read a story, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, about Sean O'Hare, and he got in a fight in this bar, and he got injured pretty badly. And it just made me wonder, because you know, there's no question that you're a huge man. Have you ever gone out sometimes and people try to, you know, I guess test their manhood against you?
Oh, yeah. It's happened in Japan.
Yeah?
All the crazy. I'm in Japan one time, and we're singing karaoke, all the guys, you know. We don't sing karaoke very well, but mm-hmm. sing karaoke. And this is long time ago, and this little guy walks up to me, and I'm telling you, the guy was 5'2", and I'm singing, and right next to me, I guess, was his girlfriend. I had no idea it was his girlfriend, you know, so I got done singing, I put the mic down, the guy walked up to me and belted me right in the chops.
Oh, my God.
I go, what the, you know, I guess I said, I sucked that bad.
Did he have to jump up to hit you in the...
Well, he just took a cut, you know, and he got me in the tip of the chin, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of mauled him down a little bit. I'm like, what the hell is the matter with you? Samu got a hold of him later, so he really didn't get a fair shake that night. You know, it just happens. Yeah, you know, you go out and somebody, you know, it used to really happen a lot when after I won the World Arm Wrestling Championship, everybody wanted to arm wrestle.
Right.
And, I mean, it was just, it just got ridiculous, you know, and I'm just going, you know, so I got used to avoiding things, you know, and it's, you know, I mean, if you want to stay out of trouble, you can if you're few beers in and you try to look for something, you can find it too, you know, but usually I just, you avoid it and just move on.
One last thing, you've become semi-famous on this program for good NWO stories. Do you have another NWO story for the guys that you can tell?
Well, I do. You know, I've been asked this a lot. Do you remember when the NWO was underneath the ring? It was me, Brian Adams, Stevie Ray, Bagwell, all the guys. And then they did the deal with the Ultimate War came out, and then we appeared when the smoke came out. We pounded the hell out of them.
Right.
Well, we're all under there. Well, I guess before we went under the ring, we had to get under there like 4:30. Show didn't start till late. This is hell no. I mean, it's hot. It's terrible. Well, Kurt Hennin, my, you know, friend that's not with us any longer, but that day I could have killed him.
Oh, I remember this story.
He got the hard-boiled eggs out. He ate a bunch of hard-boiled eggs, Butterfinger candy bars, and took X-Lax.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, we got a telephone underneath the ring, and we're all in there. We're laid out these mats. We're trying to, you know, it's terrible in there. Four fans blowing in, right? Also, Kirk goes, I got to use the bathroom. And I says, well, you're not going to be able to use the bathroom down here. He says, I got to do a number two, he goes, you know. And I said, oh, Lordy, you can't be doing that. He gets on the phone, he goes, I got to go to the bathroom. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm talking seconds later, a 5-gallon bucket appears in this guy's arm from under the ring. And I'm going, Kurt, if you do that, I'll kill you. So, you know, if anybody knows Kurt from them days, Kurt did it.
Right.
Oh, man.
And I'm telling you, I threw up.
On the floor?
Where to kill this son of a gun. I mean, we're all plotting. You know, and of course I look up and it's all over the place. It's just horrible.
Oh,
this guy, things you got to put up with, right? So as we talk to, you know, all the guys whispering to each other, says, when we get out of the ring, forget the ultimate word. We're to kill Kurt. Well, as soon as that, you know, we come out flying from under there, Kurt just busted ass and flew right to his car.
He didn't fight the
he
war.
He didn't hang around for long. That was the worst. And so that's kind of a story you can't tell, but I guess I could tell it, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of stuff you had to put up with these guys, man. I'm telling you. You know.
Crazy.
I remember one time we were flying to Japan. You remember the machines that make the fart noises?
Yeah.
Kurt had one. Of course he had one. He had all that gimmick. So anyways, we're going to fly to Japan, and this Japanese guy gets on the plane late, and he comes running on. You know, he's got his suitcase or his briefcase and his computer and everything. He goes to reach up to open up the overhead compartment. And as soon as he touched it, Kurt hit the button. And everybody in the plane looked at the guy like, and the guy's looking at me, you know, and he's Japanese. He goes to reach for the thing again, all of a sudden, and all of a sudden, you know, he's going, I didn't do it, you know. And so as he puts his suitcase or his cases up there, and he goes to sit down, and all of a sudden he hits the button for a long one. And all of a sudden everybody goes, you know, the guys are on the plane for crying out loud, man, go to the bathroom and all this. Then he pulls off the drops, you know, the morning breeze or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Also, next thing you know, everybody's got their hand over their face. And he's going, not me, no, not me. And then they can bring the spray out. And I mean, the plane ain't even taken off yet. Everybody's just in tears.
That's good.
Yeah, he was always good for one of those, you know.
Scott, I want to thank you for being on the show. We're totally out of time right now. Vicious the Delicious, guys, getting back together. Check out Scott's MySpace. Now, who would they go to book Vicious and Delicious?
You can go to MySpace and contact either me or Bagwell. And we have a manager. Well, it's his manager that's taking the bookings, and I'm taking them. And we just, you know, you just contact us and drop an email to us.
Excellent. Scott, I want to thank you for being on, like I said. And hopefully we'll get Buff Bagwell on soon.
I'll grab him by the nap of the neck and bring him on next time.
Scott, always a pleasure. Good luck to you guys.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, guys, we'll see you next week. We've got from WSX and IWA Mid-South, Josh Abercrombie, going to be on a program. So check that one out. And he's also going to be doing a little show with Les.
Yeah, he's doing it. We're doing 2 days down in Tennessee, the 18th and 19th of May. So we'll hopefully have both venues and cities lined up, and we'll be talking about that too.
Excellent. You can check out all that information at WrestlingWeekly.com, EPWT.com, and LesThatcher.com. We'll see you next week, guys. Have a good one.